Colossians 3, 1-17. Samuel's got Bibles if anyone needs one. Colossians 3, verses 1-17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Do please keep your Bibles open, and we will be looking down at that at various points. Before we begin, I'm going to adjust this screen. There we go. And why don't we pray together? Lord God, I am just a man, but your voice is heard through the lips of men. So we pray that you would speak to us this morning. Amen. The gospel is a really amazing message. It is a message that the Lord Jesus is ruler of all. It's a message that he is the judge of all. That means after we die, we will all meet him and give an account of our lives. But this amazing Lord Jesus did an amazing thing. He came down out of heaven. He became a man and he died on the cross. And there, when he died on the cross, Jesus took the blame for the wrong things that you and I, that we all do. And now, this living Lord Jesus, who rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, he comes to us. And he holds out his hands and he offers us all, every one of us here, a pardon for our sin. He offers us a place amidst his people that he is gathering together. And he holds out to us a promise of eternal life with him. Life that starts now and then goes on forever and ever in growing joy and wonder. That is this gospel promise. As he holds out his hand to you, I wonder, have you taken hold of that hand? Have you done business with Jesus and said yes to him, yes to the pardon, yes to the place in his people, yes to his promise of eternity with him? I first did that when I was about 14 years old. It was by the side of a volleyball court, and that's when I repented. That means I changed my mind. I turned around I changed my mind about Jesus. And I did business with him. And yes, I felt a certain joy, a certain restfulness, but I didn't hear any bells from heaven. I didn't see any angels. There was nothing extraordinary that reassured me that something significant and amazing had happened. And I woke up the next morning. It seemed like nothing had particularly changed, but everything had changed. Everything had changed. Because as soon as we say yes to Jesus and do business with him, this is perhaps a bit small, we are special to God. We are special to God. If you've got your Bibles, do please look down at verse 12. And in verse 12, do you see there, it talks about God's chosen people who are holy and dearly loved. Holy is a Bible word that sort of means clean in God's sight. So before saying yes to Jesus, I, because of my life, because of my sin, was dirty in Jesus' sight. I was offensive to God because of my sin. But 1 second, like 1 second after saying yes to Jesus, everything had changed. And I was clean in his sight, special to God, deeply loved by him. Before turning to Jesus, it's like we're a stink in God's nose. But afterwards, we are accepted by God. Hands up if you've got a dog. Right, there's dog people here. Thank you, dog people, hands down. When I was young, we had three dogs, two sort of golden Labradors and a sort of Jack Russell thing. And it was my job to take them for walks. And so I might take them for a walk. And there was a pond near my house. And they just galloped into the pond and sort of splish, splash, splosh amongst all the mud and reeds and things. And then I brought them back to the house. Now, you can imagine my mum's reaction when, coming through the door, the dogs charge in and jump up on the sofa, all wet and muddy. You can hear my mum's voice saying, "Get out, get out, get out!" You see, the dogs were unholy and offensive to my mum because they were dirty. They were dirty. And that is what we are all like naturally before we repent, before we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. What actually happened with the dogs is I knew quite quickly that I had to hose them down outside and then get some old towels out and give them a jolly good wash and dry them up. And then they had to go into the sort of bedroom and sort of dry themselves out in the beds. And then when they were clean and dry, they could come in to the sitting room and jump up on the sofa. And my mum's way of dealing with them would totally change. She would say, "Oh, hello, you people," and then they'd come in and she'd welcome them up. The dogs were now holy and dearly loved. And that is what it's like with God after we've received the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's cleaned us up wonderfully by dying on the cross, and now we are special to God. Friends, this is just the wonderful, wonderful truth of the gospel. No matter what I do, God loves me more than my mum does. And we never need worry that we can muck things up because of our sin, or that God frowns at us because of our sin. Because Jesus has forgiven us, cleaned us up from all of our sin, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Jesus, the ultimate dog washer, has washed this dog, he has forgiven me, and ensured that I am special to God. So, as soon as we say yes to Jesus, we become special to God. Now, it doesn't say so in this particular passage of the Bible, but one of the wonderful things, new bits of news that the Bible shares, is that God adopts people who say yes to him into his family. He calls us his children. And I think that's pretty much as good as it gets in the Bible, being called children of God. What a privilege. But, like, look at me. My life. My life is filled with all of this ugliness. Ugliness. These ugly things. This is no way for a child of God to behave. This is not the clothes that I should be wearing. Whereas that, now those are clothes. That is what children of God should be dressed in. So what I need to do is I need to take off these bad old ways and put on these good new ways. And that's what we're going to think about for the next little while. The Queen. Some of you are old enough to remember the Queen. The late Queen who died some years ago, can't remember how many. But when the Queen was a little girl, the Queen Mother used to say to her, before important events where she had to be on best behaviour, she used to say to them, "Royal children, royal manners. Royal children, royal manners." What the Queen Mother meant by that was not, you've got to behave really well and then you can become a royal child. No, it's the other way round, isn't it? Because you are royal children, have royal manners. And that is the gospel way round. Children of the King of Kings must have royal manners. So first, we must take off bad old ways. Can we look down again at verses 7 to 9? Verses 7 to 9. "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." Taken off. See that word, taken off? We must take stuff off. So first of all, I'm going to take off here. I've got anger and rage. We get angry if someone knocks over a house we're building. Or if we're playing football in break time, if someone sort of megs us in football. Is that what it's called? Megs, kicks the ball through the legs and then laughs. Might get angry. But no. Royal children, royal manners. Take off anger and rage. And then malice. Not a word we use very often. We have malice in our hearts when we hate someone and want to kind of hurt them in some way. Maybe those girls over there. I mean, they're laughing at us, they're laughing at me, and they're whispering, and they're laughing again. And it's so frustrating. And they're looking at me, and I feel like I might want to just hurt them, get back at them in some kind of way. It's so frustrating. That's malice. And it might feel good and fresh to sort of vent and get back at them. That might feel fresh, but no. Royal children, royal malice, royal manners. And the malice has got to come off. Slander. Slander, folks, is when we say bad things about people. Like, yeah, I mean, Jasmine, she's so dumb. She didn't even know what the capital of France was. It may be true. It may be false. But it doesn't matter. If it's bad, we must pinch our tongues. Pinch your tongue. You can't say bad things if you're pinching your tongue. We must pinch our tongues. You can't say bad things when you're pinching your tongue. And so slander, royal children, royal manners. The slander must come off. Filthy language. Can't see. Filthy language is saying stuff that is rude or crude, talking about things that are maybe private things, using words maybe about sex, maybe about private parts. Royal children, royal manners. We've just got to tear this. Just tear this out of our lives. Tear it out of our lives. And then finally, in the passage, it talks about something to wash off. Lying. Lying. Perhaps lying is one of the things that we find hardest to take off because, well, we just feel so embarrassed sometimes at saying the truth about what we've done. Or maybe want to get ourselves out of trouble by lying. Or maybe make ourselves just look a little bit better by lying. But no, I'm a child of God. I'm in the royal family. And so I must wash this out of my life. Take off the bad old ways. Now, fortunately, the blood of Jesus does this a better than this slightly wet cloth. But there we go. You see, this stuff here, this is not the sort of clothes that children of God are to wear. But those are beautiful clothes. And that is the sort of stuff that the Lord wants his people, his children, to be dressed in. So we need to put on, final point, we need to put on good new ways. We need to put on good new ways. Let's read verses 12 to 14. Maybe we're bored of my voice. Can we have another voice, please, to read verses 12 to 14? Someone be bold and read out loud. Andy. Thank you. Did you see it in verse 14 there, that little word, put on? Put on. There's some stuff that we must put on. So first of all, compassion. Oh, compassion's gone. The shirt was compassion. compassion. We're compassionate in our hearts when our hearts go out to people and we care. Perhaps in the lunch break, there's Dave. He's sitting on his own at school, and you know he's feeling very left out. Well, let's be compassionate and sit with him. And that will be royal behaviour. And then there's kindness. Kindness. Some may say that being kind isn't very cool. But it can feel very weak, can't it? So imagine if there's an old lady in Asda, and she's just knocked over a tin of peaches or baked beans or something. And feeling very embarrassed. Well, wouldn't it be a kind thing to go along and help her put the beans back where they belonged? We could step in and help in that way. Let's put on kindness. Now then, humility. I've got a tie of humility here. Humility. Sometimes people say humility is a bit like thinking of ourselves less or being forgetful about ourselves. Let's just stop thinking about ourselves, thinking about what we're getting, thinking about what we look like, thinking about what people thinking about ourselves, thinking about me, 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 me. We live in an age when people say a lot, well, what do you think? What do you feel? How are you feeling today? Now let's stop thinking about me. Humility decides to forget about me. Humility delights when I can forget about me and my sister gets the last biscuit. Humility delights to do what mummy or daddy says without calculating whether I am going to get a good deal out of it or not. God wants his dearly loved people to wear ties of humility. I've got some shoes down here. Now that is a pair of shoes. Gentleness and patience, can you see? Royal shoes for royal children. It's all going everywhere. Right, on go the shoes. We need to be gentle and patient. Now, we need to be gentle with our little brother. We need to be gentle with the new person at work. There's more to this than just not being rough. If we're gentle, we'll help them carry their bag if it's too heavy. If we're gentle, we'll help them search for things that they can't find. If they're being slow, we'll be patient with them. We need patience because God's timescale is often a very different timescale to ours. We are like next day delivery on our prayers. We want next day delivery when we pray. But God prefers us to trust in his timings and to be patient. Forgiveness. We want to wear a golden waistcoat of forgiveness. Perhaps we can read verse 13 again. Look down. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. When things are going into meltdown at home, and you know they're going into a meltdown because people are slamming doors and shouting and getting upset, it can be upsetting and painful, can't it? And it's easy to hold a grudge against the person that we think is to blame. But God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us thousands of times more than what we need to forgive other people. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. And finally, love. That verse, end of verse 13. What does verse 14 say? Verse 14 says, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." See, love is the icing on the cake. It's the thing that makes all the other beautiful clothes come together and sparkle. We can be compassionate, but only out of a sense of duty. We can be gentle and patient, but reluctantly. Humility and forgiveness can come with a bitter heart. But when we love people and we wish the best for them, all of these other virtues wonderfully come together and they shine splendidly, beautifully, attractively, like the Lord Jesus Christ, who wore all of these clothes like a king. And when he walked around, it was like it was a beautiful thing to see the Lord Jesus in action with people. So, because the Lord Jesus Christ died, all who say yes to Jesus, can you see the first point, are special to God. We are given a new status as children of God. And as those who are welcomed as children, what did the Queen Mother say? Royal children, royal manners. Thank you. So we take off our bad old ways and we put on good new ways that the Spirit empowers us to do. It's a total change of clothes. It's a totally new life. I think it was John Newton or someone else who lived around that kind of time, can't remember the person, who became a Christian, and he had a coachman who used to, do the carriage on that he rode in. And the coachman was asked about his master and the change that had happened to him. And the master said this: "Though there's the same skin, there's a new man inside." He'd been changed. It's the same face, same body, but a new man. The Spirit had made a new man of him. And what a glorious change the Spirit will work in us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we want to repent of our old ways. We want to take them off, and we want to take them off every day. We know that in our own strength we cannot start. But we pray, please, be at work in us. Spirit, help us to put on lives like the Lord Jesus, to put on the fruit that you bring. We ask this for your glory's sake. Amen.
Amen.